Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Back here on WEEI Afternoons, right to the guest line, as we do every Tuesday at this time, to talk to former Patriots quarterback Brian Hoyer. Mr. Hoyer, how are we doing this week?
I'm good. How are you? I just got to give a shout-out to my boy Danny in Waltham, who says this is his best drive home of the week when he gets to listen to me with you guys on WEEI. So I just had to give that out there.
Absolutely, and thanks for listening, Danny. We appreciate you listening. Man. So it's been a while since we've talked to you following a loss. 83 days, I think Mike Vrabel said.
I know.
Yep.
So where do you start when you think about this game? Because you can be kind of optimistic, right? The first half, they built a big lead, 24-7. They were rolling, designed runs with Drake May, and then the bottom fell out. They couldn't stay on the field. Defense couldn't get off the field. So what's your big picture takeaway from this game?
Yeah, it was a tale of two halves, and I was there at the game, and so it's weird to be at the game and feel the energy. And you know, I was walking through the concourse, and you hear Zolak on the call saying, "This is it, it's the AFC East is theirs." And then you're leaving the game, and you're like, "Gosh, like that really fell out." You know what I mean? And but then you watch the film, and you're like, "Okay, it's things that can be fixed. It's not like they lost and they were just beaten." I think and I've been on teams like this too. You get there the next day and you're like, man, we lost that game, right? There was things that they did in the first half that they weren't able to do in the second half. And so, to me, and I know Diggs kind of talked about it, like maybe we needed this at this time. You know, you never want to sit there and say, yeah, we need to lose to kind of reassess ourselves. But I look back to 2018 and we lost those games against Miami and Pittsburgh at the end of that year. And it really set us on a path to really look at ourselves and say, if we want to continue the season, what do we have to fix? What do we have to do? And we were able to do that. And so I think this team is establishing that culture. They recognize it. And I think Vrabel said it, like, it's only a loss if you don't learn the lessons. And so I have a feeling these two teams might meet up again. And I think they have to walk away saying, we played so poorly in the second half and we lost to the Bills by 4 points. And if we just play a few plays better, we probably win the AFC East from them that day. So it's kind of half glass empty, half glass full, because you would have liked to do it right then and there. But I think this sets them up and creates that hunger to get back to that winning edge and hopefully sets them up for a playoff run.
You know, Brian, that 2018 season, I remember you guys finished the season with the Jets and the Dolphins, and your offense just started clicking in those last two games. Even though you lost to Pittsburgh in December, everybody thought it was the end of the dynasty, and you guys showed not so fast. So, but hey, I want to ask you about what do you thought about the play calling in this game in the second half? You know, a lot of people are being critical of the offense. I put more of the blame on the defense, but the offense only 18 plays. And I think the play distribution was kind of like, I think it was around 15 passes to 3 runs or 14 passes and 4 runs. What did you think of the play calling? Were you okay with it? Did you have any issues with it? And if so, what were they?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because you watch like the flow of the game. And so, you know, Buffalo scores before the half and you have a good 2 minute drive and it's like, okay, yeah, they score, but we got 3 but then Buffalo comes out and scores. And the first play, the Patriots get the ball, you know, Bradbury gets beat in the middle of the backfield. It's a negative run and on a play that worked really well in the first half. So now, okay, you know, I've seen the people, what about play action? Well, the second play of the second half was a play action. It was a boot. And Bosa just does a good job of reading it, pushes Hunter Henry back into Drake's lap. He can't get everything on the throw. And so instead of getting a catch and run, Diggs has to dive and catch the ball. Then you can't convert on third down. And then, you know, I don't remember specifically, but at some point you get the ball back and it's one play and it's a touchdown. And so, like, you're really, yeah, it's great that you scored, but it took all of 10 seconds off the clock and you weren't able to get a rhythm. And it just, to me, the one thing, and I haven't studied the Bills defense that heavily, but just going against them for all those years and Sean McDermott, they've been such a zone heavy team. And the one thing that they really did, especially in the second half, was play a ton of man coverage, which, and not just any type of man. There was times where they doubled digs, especially on third down. And they also played a lot of two-man, which, as you know, Ted, is not a very – that you kind of save that for third and seven plus, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's dangerous when you have Drake May playing quarterback to play two-man because you really don't have anyone there to account for him if he runs. And he was able to break off one run. But it really, if you think about it, it takes away the middle of the field. It takes away the deep part of the field, kind of the two areas where Drake has had a lot of success. So they had a good game plan. And, you know, the one play I think of that they finally called a play that would beat two man, Drake throws it a little bit behind Hunter Henry. It hits him in his hands. Could he have caught it? Yeah. But, you know, it was just one of those plays that if they hit that one, maybe it gets them in a rhythm. And then penalties killed them. I mean, obviously we can talk about whether Marcus Jones was a PI, whether he intercepted all of those things. There was the holding by Carlton Davis, you know, that resulted in allowing them to get a touchdown. And then offensively, the one drive that I thought they actually got going in the second half, you get to third down, you false start. Now it's third and 15. Drake does a good job of getting the ball to Hunter, possibly in field goal range or maybe going for it. You get a holding penalty. Now it's third and, you know, 22 or whatever it was. And that's where he threw the interception. So they really just never allowed themselves to get in any type of rhythm offensively. And as you mentioned, Ted, 19 plays, that's just not enough plays to get out there and get anything done.
Brian, you mentioned Stephon Diggs, who last had a very impactful game, statistically speaking, excuse me, on November 13th against the Jets. Since then, two catches, 20, 3 for 26, 3 for 26. I know he gets doubled and he's a point of focus or emphasis for opposing defenses, given his track record and his continuity, or rather, I should say, chemistry with Drake May. But any concern that the guy who is the de facto number one for the Patriots might be tiring or slowing down a little bit late in the year?
No, and like I said, you know, I watched the film, and it's hard to watch in person, but you go back and you watch like the All 22, and like for the most part of the first half, every third down was some type of double Stephon Diggs coverage. And then the one time he was able to break free, he beats Taron Johnson underneath against that cover five, which if you let anybody inside in cover five or two man, as most people call it, like you're going to have a big play. So you get him on the under and get going. But, you know, this goes back to like coverage based reads as opposed to progression reads. And I think Drake sees the safety dropping down to double Diggs. And he's like, all right, well, I'll throw it to Booty, which was a great throw early on that first drive. There was another one where he tried to throw it to Mac Hollins because they're clearly trying to take Diggs away. And so I think there's ways that Josh can be creative in trying to beat those doubles. You move them around, get them in motion, try to do those things. And I think that's part of learning the lesson of what you just went through in this game. If you're going to want to win these games late in December, early January, into February against these good teams, those are the differences that you have to go into the game planning and saying, how do we get Diggs more involved? You know, like I said, the second play of the second half, they try to get it to him on the boot, similar to what they did the first time they played Buffalo. But, you know, there's not a clean edge and Drake doesn't be able to get everything into that throw. So there's opportunities there and they got to be able to hit them when they come.
Former Patriots quarterback Brian Hoyer here on WEEI Afternoons. Brian, you've been in the media for a little while now. You're doing podcasts, radio, TV, all these things, and you obviously saw it from the other side as a player for a long time. We talk a lot about a lot of things, and one of the things that's popped up suddenly that I didn't really see coming was this idea, what's the relationship like between Mike Vrabel and Josh McDaniels? You know, he made one comment about you can only run so many double passes for 13 yards, and then he was given an opportunity to sort of praise McDaniels, and he deflected to the rest of the staff. I don't know how much you've talked about this on your podcast or elsewhere, but what do you think the relationship is between Mike Vrabel and Josh McDaniels? Does he like the production and the play calling and whatever he's getting out of his offensive coordinator?
I mean, I don't know how you couldn't like it. You have a guy who's 23 years old who, up until halftime of last week, was the MVP favorite. The offense, I mean, look, they scored 31 points, guys. I don't know what we're talking about here. And this is as a player, you know, you look and you kind of roll your eyes. And Mike, I think to his credit, and I would direct people to go watch if they haven't, our interview with Josh we did last week with on our podcast, and I thought everything he said was genuine and real, and he credited Mike not just about the football side of it, but how he's built the culture, how he's poured into, you know, earning the guys' respect and the trust and all of those things. And those were all genuine, you know, real things. And so I know that Josh has a lot of admiration for how Mike is coaching the team. I think if you're Vrabel, you have to be so thankful that Josh was available and what he's been able to do with this offense and with Drake May. I think I said this to you guys before, like, I don't know if Drake makes the jump that he makes in year two if you bring in some guy who's never really called plays before, who's learning his way. Yeah, he may be bright and have you know, the ability to bring in a West Coast system that he's learned from somebody else, but Josh has done it before. He knows what works and what doesn't. And I would say this, and obviously I'm biased, but I said this to him when we interviewed him. Like, it takes a lot of credit after all the years that he's coached to adapt and add different layers to his offense. You mentioned it before, you know, coming out of the bye, how about a little wrinkle? Let's run the zone read and get Drake in the end zone with his legs. Let's call the draw and get a touchdown with his legs. Like, saving that for those critical games and implementing there, I thought was tremendous. And the second half, all around, it was a complete team loss, offense, defense, special teams too, because of the field position battle. So I think, you know, that's one thing that maybe people want to blow out of proportion. I got to imagine that Raves has got to be so happy with what the offense has done to this point. And now it becomes, you know, it's the time to turn it up, because if you want to make a run, everybody's got to take it up another level.
Hey, Brian, I'm curious if you think this has been blown out of proportion. It's just the people are saying they need a number one. Late game execution hasn't been there. You know, people just think that, you know, this the receiving core, even though it's been pretty good for most of the season, lately Steph Diggs hasn't been as productive. You talk about him getting double teamed a lot. You know, some people would say, well, you know, a number one beats double teams. Do you think this is, it's severely lacking this offense, number one, and that's what they need to focus on in the offseason?
I've said all along, I love this wide receiver crew. I think they've done a tremendous job. Now, I will say this, the one time that I ever played in Josh's system with a true number one was with Devontae Adams, and I would say that it adds a different layer to the offense. And so if you're able to find someone like that who, and to be honest with you, Ted, like, you talk about a number one beating double teams, Devontae is the only one I've ever seen do it.
Okay, so there's not many. I mean, you're talking a handful of guys.
Handful of guys. I mean, is it AJ Brown? Yeah, I think that's a possibility. And obviously he's linked here because of his love for, you know, Tom Brady and Julian Edelman. And obviously Vrabel coached him. Do I think that adds another layer? 100%. But I think for what they have in that room, I've really admired the work that they've put in and the results they've gotten to this point, because you're right. Diggs, you would say, is the number one, but he's older. He's coming off an injury. I thought they've done a tremendous job as a group. And if you look back to the successful years that the Patriots have had, you would probably say Julian was the number one. I mean, that's not the traditional, you know, Jamar Chase or Devontae Adams or Puka Nacua, but because of his versatility.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Which I think there's some guys that have shown that. That's why Julian was the number one. So, you know, each year is different. I wouldn't be shocked, especially with, you know, the cap space that they have, that maybe they try to go and get that game changer type of number one. And that would make everybody else in the room better for it.
I see a tough one Sunday night, Brian, in Baltimore, because it's going to be loud. It's going to be, that place is an absolute, well, it's an interesting environment to say the least. Not to mention the fact, yeah, loud. Baltimore's playing for something, just a game behind the Steelers. And also, I think they present a challenge with the mobile quarterback, strong running back, and two good tight ends. How do you see it shaking out Sunday night?
No, you're right. I mean, Baltimore's fighting for their playoff lives, and they've had a strange year, right? You know, start off 1-5. Lamar's hurt. A lot of the guys on defense are hurt. But they've come along. We see our guy Kyle Van Noy out there making plays, picking balls off, handing them off for touchdowns. You know, they shut out the Bengals. And I think for the Patriots, I thought going into last week, the keys of the game were containing Josh Allen and his legs, which they were able to do to an extent, but not really, not allowing Cook to beat him in the running game. He did. I think the same thing's going to hold true for this week. You got to stop Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry from running the football. And then offensively, you have to, you know, take what you did in that first half and try to repeat it. I think one of the bright spots to me is Travion Henderson in that game. And not just, look, I get it, the explosive runs, but his ability to show patience in the running game. And early in the year, I think he wanted to hit the hole hard and get things going. And like on the first long touchdown run, I thought he set up the blocks. He waited for his puller to get in front of him. And all it takes for him is to get to the secondary, and he's gone. And so I think you continue to implement him. I even thought Mondre had a good game, even though he only had, I think, 6 or 7 carries. I think he averaged, you know, over 6 yards a carry. So continue to build on that running game. And to your point, I think it's time to, you know, get Diggs more involved, get him going. But they're going to have to play a complete total football game. And so, you know, I don't know what's going on with Spillane. I thought that was a big loss for them on Sunday. I don't know, you know, what his status will be. Obviously, you don't have Milton Williams back yet. So they got to figure out a way to play complimentary football and go out there. And it's going to be a hostile environment. And I think, you know what, when you lose a game like you did on Sunday, you can't wait to get back out there and play. Mm-hmm. And what better place to play than on national TV at Baltimore and send a message and say, look, we slipped up in the second half, but we're a legit team.
Brian, real quick before we let you go, I know Ted talked about end of game offensive execution, but and I know you're a fan of Drake Mays and everything he's done, but what did you think of his end of game execution? I think he went like 5 of his last 13 passing and kind of looked a little bit indecisive there in a chance where everybody was like, oh, he doesn't have a lot of these comebacks, fourth quarters.
Yeah.
How'd you think he did in that spot, I guess?
Yeah, no, I was sitting there kind of waiting for, like, is this going to be, you know, Drake's, like, comeback Tom Brady moment? And the one thing when I went back and watched the film was there wasn't a lot of separation being made on those routes by the receivers. And there was even a few where I questioned, you know, the separation, or was everybody on the same page? There was one route where, you know, I thought Hunter kind of pulled up because it looked like zone, and then Drake's waiting to throw the in cut behind him. But because Hunter pulls up in its zone, he doesn't have the space and he takes a sack. And then obviously I mentioned the one throw before where, you know, it's not a terrible throw, but it's a little bit behind Hunter. They can't come down with it. There was the one where he hit Poyer right in the face mask where, you know, the ball just sailed on him. So, look, you don't get to where he's at without the success that he's had and being able to put it together. And obviously you want to see him do it in that moment. I think he's more than capable of it. I think those moments are going to continue to show up as the deeper they get in this run. And so hopefully he gets to have that moment here over the next several weeks, and maybe it even comes in the playoff game.
All right, Brian, appreciate your time. Appreciate the analysis as always. I don't think I'll get a chance to talk to you again. So the Grinch that is Andy Hart says Merry Christmas to Brian Hoyer.
All right.
The whole Hoyer Brian. Family, yep. Your yeah, dad. Brian. I hope you got your dad something good this year. You better have gotten him something good. All right, we'll talk
Christmas,
to you.
Andy.
See you, Brian.
See you, buddy.
See you, buddy.
Former Patriots quarterback Brian Hoyer here on WEEI Afternoons. We're a little late, so we'll react on the other side and then get to the drive at the top of the hour here on WEEI.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.